The following is a podcast of Thrive, a high school ministry at Victory Family Church. For more details, see thriveatvictory.com.
Today in our meeting, but as I was praying about this service, this is our last service of the year, and as I was praying last Monday, the Lord dropped this on my heart. We never did anything like this at Thrive before, and I think this is going to be a very unique night. God's going to show up in an amazing way. But as I was praying, the Lord put it on my heart that tonight we're going to be having a healing service. And we've never done anything like that before here at Thrive. And, you know, to be honest with you, I grew up in a Pentecostal church where, man, people were running around, speaking in tongues, throwing flags everywhere, just making a lot of noise. And for a long time, I kind of strayed away from the Holy Spirit being Holy Spirit led. But as I was praying about this night, the Lord said, you know what, I want this to be a healing service because there's a lot of people here tonight that need healing from their past or they have some type of illness or disease that God wants to cure them of. And that's what we're going to be doing here in a little bit. But as I was just praying, I actually talked to our guest speaker, who is Ben Archer, who's the middle school director, because he's speaking tonight. And he said, Zach, you wouldn't believe, but as I was just praying to God about what I wanted to do tonight, he told me that tonight he wanted to have a healing service. And it was just confirmation as God put that on my heart. He put it on Ben's heart as well. And we are so certain that God's going to show up. The Holy Spirit is going to move tonight. And I just want to build your guys' faith a little bit because you might be here for the first time, or this is maybe your 50th time, and you never really saw the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You never saw the gifts operating, and you never saw really any signs, miracles, or wonders. But in my last 6 to 8 months here, I've had many testimonies of people getting healed, set free, and delivered. And one of them was my own wife. She had food allergies in which she could not eat really anything. She had a couple things that she could eat throughout for probably 6 to 8 months. And I remember her mom praying for her, and she received her healing. Her stomach was made whole, and she can eat anything she wants to eat now. And there's some of you guys tonight that have severe food allergies that we're going to be praying for you, that God's going to heal you, and he's going to show up in a real way. There was another kid that came into our ministry. He broke his wrist. He had a wrist fracture. And he came in that week and he said, Zach, I just broke my wrist. I fell off a table. And could you pray for me? Because I'm going into the doctor's later this week. So me and some of our leaders, we laid hands on him. And then he went to the doctors and the doctor said, you know what, man, you don't even have any fracture in your bone. It's gone. What was last week was a fracture is no longer a fracture. You see, God wants to move in our midst. I had my cousin. And I'll finish with this. I had my cousin, I'll tell you one more. I had my cousin who fell off a 10-foot ladder and did major damage to the heels of it into his legs. And I went and I laid my hands on him and I said, you know, Sam, God's going to show up and he's going to heal you because that's the kind of God that we serve. And as I was laying my hands on him, he had warmth come right up his legs. And he said he had no pain after that. And lastly, I was here, it was a Tuesday night, and God put on my heart that people needed to receive healing for their eyes. And God did a work in my eyes where I had -6.5 vision, and he took it down to -6. And I shared my testimony of how God showed up, and he just began to restore my eyes because my eyes were getting worse and worse and worse. But God literally did a work in my eyes and made them better. And as I was saying that, 4 people stood up. I'm not kidding you. 4 people stood up and said, Zach, I can see clearer now because of the testimony that you gave and because the Holy Spirit showed up and healed my eyes. So I just want to prepare your hearts for tonight where we're going to go. It's not going to be weird, but God is going to show up. And I encourage you as we have worship and we ask you guys to come forward. Come forward and believe that God is going to heal your body. And it could be of your past. It could be anything that is keeping you from moving forward with God. God wants to show up in your life tonight. But we have a special guest. Ben, why don't you come on up? My man, Ben Archer, he is awesome. Let's give it up for Ben. I love my man, Ben Archer. Ben Archer is a man that I look up to. He literally has been my sidekick. We've been on this journey together. We came on staff right about the same time. And, you know, we bounce ideas off one another. We prank one another every once in a while. But, man, I look up to Ben Archer because he has a desire to learn and to grow in the things of God. And he has such a desire to yield to the Holy Spirit. And that's what I love about Ben. And if there's any guys in here that need a role model or a person to look up to, I encourage you, reach out to Ben, because he is honest, he is humble, and he wants to help this next generation. So I love you, Ben. I love what God has placed on your heart tonight. And what I want to do is I want everybody just to extend their hands. We're going to pray for Ben as we get into this service. Dear Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this night. I thank you for what you are going to do in our midst. God, we yield to your Spirit. We yield to you. God, and we just thank you for the grace that you have placed on Ben Archer's life. It's not him, but it is of you. God, I thank you for the gifts, Lord, the gifts of his ministry that it is going to bless people tonight. Lord, and we ask that you just do what only you can do, and that's open the eyes of the blind and see the deaf, let them hear again, God, and to raise the dead to life. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Let's give it up for Ben.
Guys, what's going on? Man, I love Zach. Don't you guys love him? You have an amazing youth pastor. Very cool. So, like Zach said, I'm Ben. I'm the middle school director. It's so awesome to be able to be here. God's got some things on my heart. I'm super, super excited to share with you. But we need to loosen up a little bit. Can we loosen up a little bit? Is that cool? Okay, so here's what we're going to do, because that was so weak. Here's what I need us to do. Can you look to your neighbor? Okay, and so somebody's going to be looking at somebody's neck. I'm sorry, that's awkward, I know. But can you just look to your neighbor and say, come on? Come on. Come on. Guys, so listen, in middle school, that's one of the things that we do. We just have a good time. So listen, if I'm saying something and you feel like it stands out and you're like, you're in agreement, come on. Come on. So can we say it together? Come on. One more time. Come on. Woo, guys, we're going to have so much fun. So let's go ahead. We're going to open up the Word. Let's go to Isaiah 55. If you've got your Bibles, pull them out. If you've got your cell phone, pull it out. Whatever you got, maybe you have a moleskin that you're just taking notes in. If you're old school like that, that's cool. If not, we've got the big screen TV up here in the back. So it'll be right there. So Isaiah 55. Before we jump in, I think that this is awesome. So if you're looking at your Bible, if you're looking at your Bible on your phone, the title of the whole entire chapter is An Invitation to the Abundant Life. And I think that that's so huge. You know, this is a personal invitation to the abundant life, the God kind of life in Jesus. And so God is inviting us in to live this abundant life. God didn't invite you to just live a life, but to live a life of abundance. So it's going to be so good. So you guys with me? You ready? Everybody's there? Let's jump right in. We got a lot of ground to cover. Zach told me I got to hurry. I'm just kidding. Okay, awkward silence. Come all who is thirsty, come. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk. Without money, without costs, why spend money on what is not gluten-free bread? Just kidding. And your labors on what does not satisfy. Listen to me. And eat what is good. And you will delight in the riches of fare. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And these last verses are so big. I want you guys to really catch this. I want you to get it, because this is where we're going to actually be landing tonight. It's where we're going to end. And so pay close attention to verse 10 and 11. So God's going to give a metaphor, and then he's going to liken it in his word. And so he's going to explain. So just go ahead, keep with me. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and make it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is, this is God, he's likening it, right? So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. I love this invitation to the abundant life, the God kind of life, right? This is God inviting us into his kingdom. This is a prophecy about of life after Jesus, that once Jesus comes, we're going to live an abundant life. We don't live an abundant life because we live in America. We don't live an abundant life because we come to church. You know, we get an abundant life because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Isaiah 55, he's a prophet, you know, so prophet Isaiah, God's speaking through the prophet Isaiah here, and he's saying that you and I will no longer settle for life, but now we have an abundant life in Jesus. That's so good. Come on. So whether you're lost, ashamed, or you've given up on God, I don't know, God will never give up on you. God's love is unfailing. He loves you exactly where you're at, no matter what. He loves you so much, and he wants you to live an abundant life in him, the God kind of life. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to lean in, to have an expectation, because God wants to wow you today. God wants to speak to you. God wants to heal us. God wants to do miracles, and it's going to be awesome. So I want you to lean in. The Bible says that as we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Translation, expectation is an invitation for God to show up and do something in your life. So I want to encourage you to lean in, be ready, say, God, I want one word from you. I want one moment, whatever it is, God, I am not leaving tonight until I get something from you. Come on. Because he wants you to live the abundant life. Good stuff. Woo! So, if you're taking notes, write this down. Write this down. The abundant life. The abundant life. That's where we'll start. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to recap the chapter. I'm going to pray a little bit. And then we're going to have some fun. And we're going to let God show up and do his thing. Sound good? Come on. Can we all bow our heads, guys? God, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. I thank you that it goes forth, it produces fruit in our lives, Lord. I thank you that your word never returns void. God, I thank you for the change that's going to happen in this room, Lord. I thank you for every single leader, every single student under the sound of my voice. God, I thank you that there is going to be significant life change, God. And we're excited, we're expecting. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Woo! I don't know if you're like me. Is there anybody in here that you just love shopping? Is there somebody in here that loves shopping? Can we just be real for a second? I don't know what it is about it, but I love shopping. Oh, man, and I love shopping around the holidays. You know what I mean? Holler at your boy. I spend all the money. It could be your money, my money, my wife's money. I don't care. I'm spending all the money. You know what I'm saying? And I love it. Oh, she's perfected shopping. She's really good at it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So she teaches me how to spend money. She's like, you need to be wise with your finances, Ben. You can't be spending all this money. We're going to go broke. I'm like, no, we got to get all the gifts. Like, get it in the cart. This is awesome. And so when I was 16, like, this habit has never changed. When I was 16, okay, I had just got my brand new bank account. I had my debit card, and I got a fat check. It was awesome. It was like $200. And so I felt like my card was so heavy, you know. I put, that awkwardness, you know. And so I went to Walmart, and I feel like there's not a single person that has never been to Walmart. If you haven't been to Walmart, can I see your hands? Nuh-uh, bro, I don't believe you. Okay, so you know, if you've been to Walmart, you've seen weird, right? You've also seen some really, you've got stories. No matter what, there's no way around it. You go to Walmart, you're going to see something. It's going to change your life. And so when I was at Walmart, like, I loaded up the cart. It's around Christmas time. I'm 16. I'll take this. I'll take that. Here's a gift for you. I want to bless you. If you've been out with me, you know that I want to pay for you. I don't know. I want to bless you. Here's a gift for you. Gift for you. Two for me. Like, I'm just so pumped, right? I love Christmas. I love spending money. I don't know what it is about it. And so, you know, I'm sitting in line, and you get up to the cashier. You're kind of looking at him, looking at you, looking at him, looking at you. And then you look back, and you've got a line of people. You know, Merry Christmas. Not everybody's feeling that. They're like, come on, I got to get out of here. Like, holly jolly, let's go. Get this line going. Come on, can't you push buttons any quicker? And so I finally make it there. I'm so excited. Oh, man. I pull out my card. I made all my purchases. I didn't even look at what I had in the cart. You know what I'm saying? And I get to that moment where, like, I swipe the card, I'm looking at the cashier, looking at me, looking at him, looking at me, and it's like that awkward moment. You look back in the line, everybody's like, and you're giving the look, you're like, you know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, if you've ever been in this situation, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Why do people feel the need to say, excuse me, sir, your card it's been declined. You know, have you ever had the moment of when your card's been declined and you're like, you feel like they're shouting it like, oh, it's an insufficient funds. Like, oh my goodness. You're like, dude. And you kind of feel the need to like turn around and tell the whole line like, oh, that's crazy. I just spent it an hour ago. It worked. I swiped it. I swear. And like, but that feeling of having insufficient funds, you know, so the word of God, it's not like that. You know, it never returns void. God always delivers on whatever he speaks because of his character, because of who he is. God's always going to come through. It never returns to him void. Come on. Come on. It's that old saying, you know, I'm not real big into sports, but it's that old saying, that sports analogy. You know, your mouth writes checks that your talent can't cash. You know, that's not God. What God can deliver on whatever he speaks because of his nature, because of his character. So God is inviting us in Isaiah 55 to live the abundant life, the God kind of life, right? We believe in Christ that you have more than enough. You have more joy, more peace, more hope, more strength, more than you could ever ask, more than you could ever imagine. That's the abundant life in Jesus. And so watch how God invites us in. Watch this. This is so awesome. I've got 5 C's for us. And so if you're taking notes, I want you to write these down. It's I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. It changed my life. Write down number 1. Come. Come all who are thirsty, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come. So in other words, I know that you don't have sufficient funds to get whatever I have to offer. But this is a gift. This is a free gift. Salvation doesn't cost you anything because I've already paid for it, right? I paid with my one and only son. Jesus Christ gave his life so that you could live everlasting life. He said that if you're thirsty. So in other words, God is acknowledging bankrupt souls, right? God is acknowledging those who are thirsty for something more authentic. God is acknowledging us, and he's saying, come. Come if you're thirsty, if you're needy, if you're desperate, if you're broken. Come everyone, come all, come. I don't care, you just gotta come. This is for anyone who is willing to just come. You might have grown up in a good home, maybe you grew up in a bad home. I don't care what you did last summer, this summer, or last night. God says come, he says come. I don't care. The whole gospel is an invitation for anyone who's willing to just come. Come. We see Jesus echo this. Jesus echoes this with the in the gospel. He says to the tax collectors, he says, come. The fishermen, come. One woman, she had 7 demons. Her name was Mary. He said, you can come too. Come. You know, and so one woman was caught in the act of adultery. He said, come. Just come. Come. Just show up. This is for everyone. You know who this reminds me of? You know what this reminds me of? Pastor Zach. Can I just take a moment to honor your pastor? All the time. I don't care where we're at, what we're doing. He's come. Come, I don't care who you are, what you did, what it's about, come. I wanna love on you. I feel like you guys are so significantly blessed because you have a pastor that just loves you, wants to love like Jesus, wants to be like Jesus, everything that he can do to be like a Jesus, and you can just see it exude from him. Come on. What a mighty man of God. It's an honor to know your pastor and to just to be with you guys today. It's awesome. So he exudes love like Jesus. God wants you to come. God wants you to come. Just show up. This is for everyone. And when you come, number 1 is come. Number 2 is call. Call. When you come, I want you to show up. I want you to call on my name. You ever invite a friend over to your house? Maybe you have a group of friends. Anybody ever here? Anybody hang out? And is anybody social? Anybody got friends? I got friends. I got a couple friends. I tell myself I got friends. Okay, and so you invite your friends over, you're all hanging out, like, and then you got somebody that's over there like this. And you kind of feel like you're there, they're there, but they're not really there. You know what I'm saying? Like you're together, but you're not really together. No, God says that when you come, I want you to call on my name. And so in Isaiah 55, 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. So in other words, I don't want you to just show up. But I want you to show up in a manner where you're calling on my name. I want you to be there with me. I want you to be present. I want you to draw near to me. I want you to be ready. So in other words, it's going to take a little bit of faith for you to admit that you might need a little higher power in your life. It's going to take a little bit of humility to say that I can't sort everything out that I'm going through in life without you, Jesus. I can't do this on my own. You know, I found myself in this situation, in this sin circle. I'm dealing with loneliness, depression, anxiety, addiction, whatever it is. I need to call upon the Lord, our God. Come on. The Bible says that to all those who call on the Lord God will be saved. Aren't you glad that you didn't just get an invite, but you got an invite to call upon the Lord of God? Come on. Woo, call on God. You ever see somebody with cotton mouth?
Come on.
I don't want to be that guy. We're not going to be that guy. That was so good. Call on God. What would your life look like if you started to call on God more? Call on his name with strength, right? For your relationships, your dreams, your finances, your future. Call on God. Have you ever seen that show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Anybody? Maybe you've heard of it. Somebody's got to heard of it, right? If you need help, if you're on the show and you need help, guess what? You can X out two of the four, right? You can ask the audience for help, or you can phone a friend for help. Calling on God is asking for help, okay? When you come, all that I ask is that you call. So one, come. I don't care if you grew up in church or this is your first time in church. Anybody can come. I don't care if you're a believer or if you're not a believer. Just come. I want you to come, right? And two, call. I want you, all I ask is that you call on my name. And when you call on my name, I want you to know that we're on different levels. That you and I, we are completely different. There is no comparison in verse 8. There's no comparison. So write down number 3, comparison. Write down number 3, comparison. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. When it comes to you and I and God, there's no comparison. He's in a class all on his own. He is the most powerful, the highest, the biggest, stronger, the greater. He's above all things. God, our God, is the King of kings, Lord of lords, Lord of hosts, Abba Father, Alpha the Omega, Most High, Elohim, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, Adonai. These are all names for God. Our God is a mighty God. When you call on him, you call on his name. There's no comparison. And so in Isaiah 55, 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He thinks in terms of the world. You think in terms of your life. He thinks in terms of the universe. You think in terms of your bank account. His ways above our ways. He's in class all on his own. There's no comparison. How many people in here have an iPhone? How many people here have an Android phone? Yeah, okay. How many people in here have a Samsung? Don't raise your hand, that thing might explode. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, just like you would compare Apple and Android, I thought that was funny. Just like you would compare Apple and Android, right? When you call on God's name, there's no comparison. His ways are above our ways. He is faithful, he's committed, he's undefeated, he's undisputed. Thank God that he's in a class all on his own. Come on. So one, come. Two, call. Call on my name. Three, comparison. When you call on my name, there's no comparison. God can't be compared to a man or a politician. His ways are way above our ways. God said all of that to get to number 10. Verse number 10, guys, just listen to this language. Listen to this. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So in other words, you can put your confidence in my word, for it never returns void. God says, if I send my word out, it's gonna heal. If I send it out, it's gonna deliver someone. If I send my word out to correct somebody, it's gonna correct somebody. My word is mission possible. My word is undefeated. Come on. So write down number 4, confidence. Come, call, comparison, confidence. You can put your confidence in my word. You can build your future on my word. You can build America on my word. You can build your life on my word. You can build your relationships on my word. Thank God that we can build our lives on his word. You can have confidence in what God is saying and what what God speaks in Jesus' name. It will never, ever return void. He's saying, put confidence in my word. You ever send somebody to order you food? Oh, I'm a foodie. Yeah, anybody ever order out, but you send somebody like maybe mom, dad, brother, something like that? No, a friend? Come on, let me see your hands. I know. You know, and so I get all excited. You know, you put a lot of thought into it. You get all pumped. You know, I want 2 McChickens, add tomato, extra mayo. I want a 4-piece McNugget, small fry. Haul at your boy. Give me a Diet Coke. Woo! I'm so excited. And you don't know how, but it gets all screwed up, right? Like, how do you screw it up? It's not that big of a deal. God's saying that when I send out my word, it always accomplishes the task. God's word will do 4 things in your life. It'll do 4 things when you send it out. I want you guys to write this down. God's word will do 4 things. 4 things. Number one, God's word, it will revive you. It revives you. Psalms 119, 154, revive me according to your word. Isn't it amazing that when you come in here on Saturday and you get God's word in you, you get all filled up, you get all pumped, and you're like, oh, I'm on cloud now, let's go. I'm gonna get somebody saved. Like, you're in, right? And then come Monday, you kind of feel like it's like pulling on you a little bit. It's kind of slipping away. Come Wednesday, you're like, all right, I still feel it. That was a good word, but I'm kind of feeling it. Come Friday, you're like, I need Jesus, right? Come Saturday, I gotta get in church. I gotta get God's word in me because it revives me. Revival starts on the inside of you, right? We need to get God's word inside of our heart, inside of our soul. When we do that, it revives dreams in us. It'll bring out dreams that were lost. It'll bring new dreams, big dreams that you never thought that you even had. Like, God will bring things out of you. It revives you. It's so good. Number two is God's word will heal you. Relationships that have been broken. Thinking patterns that are broken, maybe things that you have done that are starting to become destructive in your life. When you get God's word into your life, it will heal your bones. Psalms 107:20 says this, he sent out his word and healed them. You know, earlier this week when I was coming into church, during the week I started getting these anxious feelings, right? Anybody ever go to work? Anybody ever go to school or something like that? You get anxious feelings? Come on, we can be honest. We're in church, right? No better place. I got these anxious feelings. I started to apply God's word to those areas of my life. I started to speak what God, you know, poured right over my life. When you take God's word and you put it into your life, things that have been distorted, things that have been confusing, it'll literally bring light to the situation. It'll bring healing to the situation. It'll bring healing to the relationships that need mended. When you get God's word, it's literally like taking medicine for your soul. So good. So good. Come on. Number three. Are we good? You guys are quiet. What if I just talk like this? Okay, so number three, God's word, it will guide you. God's word, it will guide you. Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Some of you guys are trying, and I've been there, we're trying to govern our life in darkness, right? Trying to wonder what we're going to do about stuff, you know, wondering where we should go to school, who we should date, right? Wondering what we're to do about the situations that we're in, things that we're navigating. You're trying to fumble through the dark, but you get God's word on the situation. It's a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path. And all of a sudden, I can see again. It brightens it right up. How many of you guys have a light on your phone? Let me see your hands. Yeah, almost every single one of us, right? You know, when I was growing up, I wanted a light so bad. Thank you, Jesus, for Steve Jobs, right? Put a light on everybody's cell phone. It's crazy. But I use my flashlight all the time because it's dark. When you get God's word on a situation that you didn't know what to do, it becomes clear as day. It'll guide you. It's a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. And the fourth thing is God's word will teach you. It'll teach you. It'll teach you how to live. It'll literally teach you how to live. You ever go to Barnes & Nobles? Anybody? Anybody? You go in there, you see all those books, and then you see the section like of all those books, like the books for dummies, right? You got like iPhone for dummies, PC for dummies, Android for, I don't know what my phone kick is, okay? And then like wrapping for dummies. I need that one for Christmas. That'll tell my wife that. But like seriously, you read these books because it teaches you how to do something, right? The Bible will teach you how to live. It'll teach you how to excel. Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In other words, when you read the Bible, God takes the simple and makes you wise. In other words, Proverbs says that these sayings make the simple-minded clever. I don't care what you got or what you're gonna get on the SATs. If you get God's word in your heart, you're gonna be wise. You're going to be wise. God will teach you how to operate, how to behave, how to be pure sexually. Hello. How to be upright before the Lord, how to handle your finances, what to do with your time, what to do with your thoughts, right, and your mind, and how to steward the temple of the Lord, which is your body. God's word will teach you how to live. He said, you can put your confidence in my word. Don't trust anything above my word. You can put your confidence in my word. Let's give him some thanks tonight that you can put confidence in his word. Come on, can I hear you? Come on. Some of you guys are here tonight because you got the word of God in you when you were young. Mom and dad had to drag you to Bible school, to Sunday school, right? Drag you. You got God's word in you. It's still operating in you. It's still working in you even when you can't see it. You know, the Bible says that when we were children, if you got God's word in you, guess what? When we're older, we won't depart from it. It's always working in our life. You know, so the word goes forward. I don't care how long it takes, that thing is undefeated. It's never going to stop. Can't be brought down by anything. Someone say, come on. I love that.
Yeah.
So God is saying, put your confidence in my word. Don't trust anything above my word. We need to constantly be building our life on God's word and his promises and his truth and who God is. His word will last forever. Come. Call. There's no comparison. And you can put all your confidence in my word and who I am. You might have gotten your debit card back from the cashier and he said, you know what, you have insufficient funds. But God says, my word will never return void. Never. It's undefeated. He said, you can put the confidence in my word. And then you'll have something. I want you to write down number 5. And can I have the worship team come up? I want you to write down number 5. If you put your confidence in my word, you will have the change that you're looking for. The change that you need. The change that you're desiring and that you're praying for. It's actually not found in how good you are or your morals or your behaviors or your church attendance or how much you pray. But the change that you need comes from trusting and having confidence in God and his word. So Isaiah 55:11, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere that I send it. And watch how God ends. Watch this. You will go out in joy, and you'll be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of the briars, the myrtles will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. God's speaking in a metaphor. If you have confidence in me, I will start to produce in your life what you cannot do on your own. Change starts with putting your confidence in God's word. When you put your confidence in God, God will start to change you. Where it looked like there would never be life, Things will start to be different. God will change you if you put your confidence in him. All of a sudden, you'll get myrtles. Things will start to grow. Things will start to blossom. There'll be flowers. What are thorn bushes and briars? It's like having weeds and torment. God says, if you put your confidence in me, all of a sudden, junipers will grow. By the way, juniper trees can grow up to 60 feet tall. I'll make all things grow. I'll make your attitude grow, your favor. I'll make your name grow and your church grow. I'll make your business grow. I'll make you wise. Can we all bow our heads? And I will do for you what you cannot do on your own. I'll revive you. I'll guide you. I'll teach you. I'll heal you. I don't want anybody looking around. Maybe you're dealing with loneliness. Maybe you're dealing with depression. Maybe you're dealing with anxiety. Maybe you're being flooded with thoughts on a day-to-day basis. Do people like me? Am I cool? Am I accepted? Am I all right? Maybe you're in here right now and you're like, you know what? This is cool. That's a great message, Ben. That's real touching. But this doesn't apply to me, because if you only knew what I've done, if you knew what I looked at on the internet, if you only knew that I battle every day in my mind, that I'm not great, that I come from a broken family, that there's addiction in my home, that I'm from a nobody family, I'm from a nowhere city, I'll never amount to anything. God wants to heal you. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to make the myrtles grow. He wants to make the junipers grow, where it looks like a desert in your life, where it looks desperate. One word from God will change your life forever. One moment in His presence will change you forever. God says, come. I just want you to come. And when you come, I want you to call on my name. Know that there's no comparison in who I am. You can have confidence in me. I will fight your battle. I'll be the air in your tires. I'll carry you through. Have confidence in my word and who I am. I'll never let you down. I promise you there'll be change in your life. God wants to heal us tonight. God wants to set us free. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal you from your past. The past is the past. It's done. It's gone. I'm going to ask you right now, if you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, I want to give you the opportunity to leave it all behind and just start following Jesus. Start your relationship with Him today. If you're in here and you want to take that step, nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. This is between you and I. If you want to slip up your hand right where you are, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I'm not going to single you out. I see that hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Maybe you're in here right now and you feel like your heart's racing a million miles an hour. You're like, God, what is this? I've never experienced anything like this, and I want this. It's not too late. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Everybody, repeat after me. Father God, I come to you. In Jesus' name, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And He died on the cross for my sins. And I receive you to be my Lord. I'm a child of God. I'll never be the same. Amen. Hey, listen, the second thing I want to do is this.